The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am Valerie Kirkgaard. I am here. You are listening to us in our 23rd year, Waking Up in America, Dynamic Radio Dialogues on Issues That Matter. And I want to thank you, Emergency Management Solutions, also known as EMS Global One. And that wonderful company is represented by C.W. Wright. So before we get going on the show, I want to say thank you to the sponsors. And I want to let you know that I've actually carried the Olympic torch in 1984, and once you've got that thing in your hand, you can't put it down. So today, light your torch, join us, listen to the conversations that we're having, and I think you'll find everything pretty darned exciting, because America is moving forward, and we are making changes, and the changes are profound. Now, all torchbearers of this 2,000-year-old flame know this. In case you don't, I'm going to tell you. It's Citius Altius Fortius. That's what's engraved on our torches, which means swifter, higher, stronger. So our guests come from all kinds of values and all kinds of fields, but what you need to know about them is that they're absolutely excellent at who they are and what it is they do, from taekwondo champions to nutritionists to today we are very privileged to have director of Border, the movie Border, Chris Burgard, certainly a hot topic today. Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio that will change the world, and we need your help to do that. So let your friends know about us. Visit our website and sign up for our newsletter. Ask for a password for our Restored America section. And really, honor our sponsors, because they actually do a fabulous job for us. And if you happen to hear a dog barking or a telephone ringing or an angel singing, know that we call in from our homes and offices all over the world to cause this program. So CW, let them know who has been making it possible for us to be on the air today.
Yeah, thanks to our sponsors, LALifestyle.com, nutritional supplements of the stars, and a trusted supplier of superior quality supplements from antioxidants and juice boosters and minerals and natural teas and nutritional oils, powders, specialty products, sport fitness formulas. I can just go on and on and on, but I want to invite everybody to visit their website at LALifestyle.com. That's LALifestyle.com, where their best seller this month is on sale. It's the red yeast rice, and I understand a lot of people take that for many different things, and we might be able to get Dr. Rutledge to explain what red yeast rice is later on today.
It'll come out of your mouth.
Say that real fast five times. And they also have a special discount for the military personnel, so go visit them at LALifestyle.com. Also, thanks to Jason Winter's Tea. And they have a healthy original formula of detoxifying. Sir Jason believed that a strong immune system is the cornerstone of good health and a long life. And when he created the tea, there were several years that went by, and he decided from many requests he received that tea wasn't always the best thing available for the active person. So he created a product called Tribaline, which is the tea in a tablet form. And I invite you to go visit this at SirJasonWinters.com. SirJasonWinters.com, and you'll hear his story as well. And EMS Global One, the disaster preparedness emergency management solutions around the globe, and you can visit them at EMSGO.org. where they provide global solutions with emergency management for the home and corporations, as well as providing supplies in kit forms, small kits for the home, and corporate solutions. That's EMSGlobalOne.com.
Yeah, I really want to have more of our people that are listening to this radio program take precaution, because when you take precaution, no matter where or how or when you do that, you actually prepare for yourself a much nicer future than the one that you have if you don't. Even if nothing happens, you have that sense of confidence that you have taken care of yourself. So we invite you to do that. And Chris Burgard has been a friend of mine for a really long time, and I've watched this whole process that he's been going through. And I was at the initial screenings and things of that nature, and I saw this, and I thought, I was so naive, Chris. I actually thought it would, quotes, be over by now. so embarrassing. So if you would tell people what it is, a man and his dog went to the border, took a buddy with him who's good with a camera, and tell us what you saw.
You know, Val, I just take a second. I don't think you were naive. I think you were just using too much common sense. I think anybody that's known about the situation on the border, how it's hurting everybody down there, from the Mexicans to the Americans, that people with common sense thought, hey, this is a problem. Bad things are happening. We're Americans. We're going to fix it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that isn't what happened. When I was down there to make the movie Border, basically I just filmed everyone, all the players that were down there, from the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps to the ranchers, the local police, to the immigrants, to the drug cartels, to the activists, and went to Washington, D.C. and filmed our leaders that were supposed to be addressing this situation. And what we try to do is just give everyone a front row seat to the border. And, we discovered things down there like the rape trees.
Like what?
The rape trees.
What is that? What is a rape tree?
A rape tree. Well, what happened the last 10 years is the drug cartels have taken over the old mom-and-pop smuggling routes. So the same people that are smuggling humans into the United States are the same people that are smuggling the narcotics. And the two trades actually overlap, and they help each other. And what the drug cartels use to get these humans across the border and through our deserts, we call them coyotes. What the DTOs, the drug trafficking organizations, they call these guys either guillos or polleros, which means chicken wranglers. To them, illegal aliens, they call them chickens. And what these coyotes will do when they get groups sometimes onto our side of the border is they'll pick out some women out of the group, and often within earshot of their children or their parents or their loved ones, they'll rape these poor women, and then to further humiliate them, they'll have their hang their undergarments up in these trees, these bushes.
And they do this because?
Well, it's to humiliate them, and it's to show power and control. It's a sign to the rest of the group that they have of the respect that they need to show and the discipline that they need to have to listen to this coyote who now has their life literally in their hands. And then what he actually does with these trees is they become trophy trees. And this coyote here will say that he has more trophies than, the next
more women's trophy. Underpants hanging on his tree than anybody else.
Exactly.
What a charming situation.
Well, it's, a friend of a guy that's become a good friend of mine from Border Patrol, and he was talking about one of the first nights he was on patrol by himself. And just across the border, he heard a coyote raping a young girl, and he just sat there in his vehicle and he cried. And there was, this is a guy who is a U.S. military veteran. This is a guy that has, hardcore training, and he just sat there and cried because there was nothing he could do as he had to listen to the screams of this woman hundreds of yards away.
Mm. Ooh. Well, you were also talking about it isn't just Mexicans that are coming over the border either.
No, it's the trafficking is coming across the border. This is a global network. These are organizations that make as much money as Halliburton. I know one rancher in South Texas. I'll just give you, for instance, one simple story. She came across two gentlemen in the bush on their ranch in South Texas. One took off. One was done, walked up to her, and he was quite upset, very frustrated with management, and he explained in a very proper and educated British accent how he was from Bangladesh, how his father had paid $43,000 for him to be taken from Bangladesh to Pakistan. Pakistan, they flew him to Russia. Russia, he got on a plane with 300 other illegal aliens. They flew him to Guatemala, where they spent some time teaching Spanish, brought him up to Mexico, and kind of dumped him off in the bush of Texas. And he was quite upset with middle management and the organization that brought him there, and he just wanted to go home. Mm. Now, that's just one story. I mean, I can tell you about other ranches that I know in Texas where they see big upticks in Chinese, in Eritreans. It's
what was the last one you said?
Eritreans. It's a country down in Africa. Not,
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah.
You were also saying that they found Arabic documents and papers, too, I believe.
Yeah, from prayer rugs to journals to military patches sewn on the inside of clothing. That's not unheard of down in those regions in Texas and Arizona.
You know, I started putting it together about when I heard Obama was dragging Van Brewer of Arizona, the governor of Arizona, trying to drag her to the UN, and then some really interesting information came out when I said that. And Ken, I was wondering if you, you said it wasn't verified, but you thought it was so? About the border belonging to the UN?
Yeah, and as you just said, yeah, I can't verify that. There's a lot of pieces of information for people such as myself who have been studying all of this for many years. We hear things. We don't necessarily have the time to verify everything. But the point was that it was stated that there's a corridor that straddles the border on both sides that has been ceded to be UN territory. It could be 5 miles radius on both sides. It could be larger.
Have you heard of this, Chris?
No, I've heard nothing about that.
Check it out.
There's a 160-foot ribbon that when they surveyed it under Teddy Roosevelt, that it was surveying that was used for moving, if we ever needed to move troops up and down the border, we had this 160-foot corridor. That's about the closest I've heard to that.
Do you think that could be part of it, Ken?
Well, possible, but, of course, the UN didn't exist back then.
People did.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's an interesting point. I don't want to distract from the focus
that
you're going on. So, but just to say, within all of this, in the broader sense, there are always layer upon layer of things that have been embedded, whether that's jurisdictional embeddedment or whatever, so that you know, a purposeful agenda can be fulfilled at some point in time.
Cool. You know, Kelby, you were talking about, I think you said part of a park had been closed or something? What were you saying about
that? Yeah. You know, I listened to Chris, and I feel like I was very touched by some of the stuff he was saying. Here's the bottom line, Chris, and I know you know this, if our country wanted to secure this stinking border, they would secure it. I mean, do you agree with that?
Oh, they could do it tomorrow. It's not a matter of how do we do it. It can be done. It's just a matter of will. We do not have the political will to do that.
Exactly, and which kind of goes to a bigger agenda, in my opinion. And if you've watched the last 20 years with the play out from a global agenda standpoint, you look at how all countries are formed. All countries are formed with a treaty. That's how they all get started. They start with a treaty, and then you look at 2005 with the North American Treaty, and you look at what's transpired around that. Now we have NORTHCOM, which is a United States military that carries a patch that is the same colors as the UN, and it doesn't show a picture of the United States. It shows a picture of the North American continent.
And when did this
whatever
happen?
What's that?
When did this patch come out?
Well, you can just go to Google. And
yeah, maybe how long ago has this been going on for? That's all I wanted to know.
A NORTHCOM? I don't know. I really don't know. I know that there's a NORTHCOM. I know that there's a SOUTHCOM. And here's the interesting thing. If you look up SOUTHCOM and you look at the seal, it actually is a picture of a pirate ship. It looks like a picture of a pirate ship, and it's a military website. So The bigger picture to me, Chris, is they really want these bodies to come over the border so that we can capitalize on those bodies. And I think, Ken, you were talking earlier before we got on the radio show about how they do that. If you could touch on that, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think Val wanted me to do that in the second half of the hour. But
do it a little bit now because he has to leave. So give us like a couple of minutes if you can right now.
Well, the point that Kelby is making is simply if we look at anything transpiring, we know there's a higher agenda to allow it to happen because the wherewithal to stop it, as Chris said, is would be quite easy. The fact that they're not stopping it means they have a purpose for it. The purpose is that if and when amnesty or some form of legalization of all of these individuals, which could be 10 to 15 million, if they are legalized and given Social Security numbers, those SSNs will become the bonding point by which the U.S. corporation can recapitalize its monetary system, which, as we know right now, is basically imploding on itself. So, you know, what you see playing out in the media is simply a dog and pony show for the benefit of the divide and conquer, so that one half of the population argues for something, the other against it. So, it is a red herring to keep the debate going while an agenda is systematically being brought into place. So I'll talk about that more in the second half of the show.
Oh, cool. And you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking, I love that Arizona made those strict immigration laws. Chris, I don't know if you know that, but Arizona was actually the last republic to become a state.
I did not know that. And, you know, as far as global agendas and you know, everyone else on the show is way more versed in that than I am. You know, I can really only speak to what I've documented and what I've experienced and what I know to be true. But somebody said something about a dog and pony show. Let me just put up one thing that I've experienced and you know, just information for y'all to do with it what you will. But let's talk about the fence and how much money has been spent on the fence. Now, the fence in certain areas works very effectively to protect this country as a force multiplier. If you have the correct fence built, it will force traffic around the edges where you take your limited manpower and you put them to work out there. However, there are many places where you just could never put a fence, and there's other places where the fence has been built purposely to fail. And let me explain one position there. Hudspeth County, Texas. Out in West Texas. You may remember back in 2006, Hudspeth County Sheriff's deputies and Texas DPS ran into Mexican military on our side of the border, armed Humvees. And there was a 27-minute standoff wherein two of the three SUVs that were full of drugs were trying to get back to Mexico. One made it across. One, the Texas law enforcement got, and the other one got stuck halfway across. And the drug cartel personnel and the Mexican military fanned out in the thick bush, the salt cedars on the southern side of the Rio Grande, to hold off Texas law enforcement while they unloaded and then burned this SUV. Well, a couple years later, they finally get some federal help down there. They build the fence. The fence stops 500 yards from Neely's Crossing, where these Mexican vehicles came across. If the vehicles want to come across again, the fence isn't going to stop them. In that same three-mile section of fence, there are two 12-foot gaps that you can drive a truck through. And there are paths that are so well used that they're actually worn into the turf there that go down to and across the river. But if you ask most American citizens, is the border safe now, they'll say, oh, yeah, we spent a ton of money building the fence. The fence is protecting us. Well, for the most part, in many places, it's my experience that was built as a dog and pony show.
I'm very unhappy listening.
It does work in other places. Out in California, you have Imperial Beach. They did a great job there, but they take the resources to put on each end of the fence, and that does limit the traffic there. But you go down to Hudspeth County, Texas, the answer is no.
Well, I heard last night, you know, that we had called off the war in Iraq and that we were bringing the troops home, but then I was really intrigued to hear that there's still going to be 50,000 troops left in Iraq to help keep the peace. And that doesn't sound like bringing the troops home to me.
So I'm thinking, to me either.
I didn't set it up because I'd like to see some of these troops, if we're going to bring troops home, down along the border. You know?
Let's talk about troops on the border. You know, you'll see in the movie Border, you'll see that down in Hachita, New Mexico, they put a striker unit down there.
What is a striker unit?
Strikers are... fighting vehicles that we have. They're kind of a cross between a tank and a armored personnel carrier. Very effective vehicles. Then they put a squad down there, a striker squad, in the most heavily trafficked cocaine corridor coming up there through New Mexico, and we filmed these fellows down there. And let me tell you what, cocaine traffic went down to zero the entire time they were there. They were very, very effective. The ranchers felt much safer with them being there. And then we sent these fellows back to, you know, back to Iraq, and they led the surge. Or you can go back to Arizona, the place where I filmed the armed incursion coming across the borders, the Buenos Aires Animal Preserve, which of which 3,500 acres is still off limits to Americans. About 15 months later, after I filmed what we filmed, there was another armed opposing force that came over from Mexico, and this time they ran into a squad of U.S. National Guard, guardsmen from Tennessee. And what the guards...
Are these the Minutemen, Chris?
No, these are U.S. military forces.
Oh, got it. You might want to include your conversation on the Minutemen, because I know how much you respect them.
Okay, well, we can get that in a second. What happened is the armed force from Mexico came across the border. The squad leader twice moved his men back. He fell back and observed and fell back up to higher ground strategically. And when this force from Mexico realized that they had just been no longer had the tactical advantage and that there were reinforcements coming, they went back into Mexico. Well, while you had the guardsmen there in that sort of an active situation, the ranchers in the Altar Valley felt much, much safer. Now they're gone, and you ask many ranchers down there, you know, who has operational control of the Altar Valley? Is it U.S. law enforcement or the cartels? And they'll tell you that it's the cartels. Going to what you said, the Minutemen, I want to point out there are many, many different Minutemen organizations in the United States. The one that we covered in the movie was called the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps, which was headed by a guy named Chris Simcox. And at the time, it was the largest Minutemen organization in the country. They're no longer in existence. They stood down and were disbanded this spring by then-director Carmen Mercer because the rise in escalation and the tension down there, she felt that something bad was about to happen and that, according to her and to many of the members, that it was going to be spun so the administration would blame it on them, that the Minutemen caused the violence.
Oh, got it.
Because of them. So rather than that happen, they stood down. They called off their operations and they said, look, this is where it's coming to now. And a week later, Rob Krentz was killed, who's an Arizona rancher that came across an individual at one of his stock tanks out in his pastures and was shot and killed. And then about a week or two after that, Pinal County Sheriff's deputy got in a firefight with 3 to 4 individuals with AK-47s, and he got shot up. So she was not off when she knew that the violence was going to be getting worse.
Oh, I get it. I just want to check in with UCW and see if there's any questions or comments that you would like to make at this time.
The border problems seem to just be growing, and I don't understand it, Chris. Why is our United States continue allowing this to go on like this? I know.
Well, you know, that's above my pay grade. You'd have to file the money to its many different destinations to find out what everyone's agenda is. But I can tell you that most Americans don't look at this in the correct context. This isn't about simply people coming to America looking for a better opportunity, which you can't blame them. I know many people that I've met on the border and people here that would have loved to stay in Mexico and raise their families, but it's so corrupt, it's so dangerous that they can't. What you are really facing is a regional hemispheric narco-terror war. I mean, I've been in Honduras. I've been on the border for a very long time. This is all the same players. This is going from Colombia through Venezuela, Honduras. This is big. This is huge. This is a narco-terror war. And it's the 28,000 people you've seen killed in the last few years in Mexico, I mean, that dwarfs the number of troops that we've lost in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, people need to pay attention to this. And this isn't something that's just stopping at the border. You're talking about organizations that are, as we speak, recruiting kids out of middle school and Texas high schools to work as assassins and employees for the drug cartels. You're talking about influence that's coming into the States. The Phoenix is now the number two kidnap capital on the planet.
Phoenix, Arizona?
Phoenix, Arizona. Mexico City's number one. Phoenix is number two.
Get out.
No, this is there's a major restructuring of the gangs in the United States that has been becoming the enforcement and the distribution arm of these Mexican drug cartels.
Okay, we got a couple of minutes left. You got any idea? Let's pretend your pay grade is exactly what it needs to be. Okay, what would you do?
What would I
first
solve the border problem?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing, I would let the men and women of the United States Border Patrol and local law enforcement, the state officials that are down the border, I would let them do their jobs. I would give them all the resources they need to do their jobs. And then I would cut off the golden egg, the lure that is bringing so many folks here. The first thing you do would keep E-Verify going, which is basically if somebody applies for a job, they have to have a legitimate Social Security number. What the Border Patrol has been saying, and T.J. Bonner, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, has been saying this for years, if you can just take away the wave, you know, of humanity that's coming across the border, we can go after the real bad guys, which are the narco traffickers, which is evidenced by this last year. You know, traffic across the border, human traffic, is down about 25-27%, but narcotic seizures are up 50%. Why is that? Because when you take away the camouflage, the Border Patrol can go after the cartel organizations. It's not rocket science. If you apply common sense to the border, we can do this.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to suggest to you, because there's some really good information that's going to be coming on later on the show, and I know you've got work to do. So if you could just, like, click into the radio show and listen to the rest of it while you're doing your work, because I know you have to do that, and I promise you that we'd get you off the air by 12:30. I think you would hear a lot of interesting stuff, and I just really want to thank you for being here, Chris, for the commitment that you are. I know how much you wanted to go to Iraq, and I think that what you've done here is just incredibly important.
And well, I thank you, and I thank you all for having the conversation. Look, I don't have all the answers. I'm just a guy that's been in some interesting situations and learned to ask some questions that no one else is asking. You know, I don't need people to think like me. I just need people to think, which is what you all are doing. You all are inspiring conversation, and you're forcing people to pay attention and participate.
Yeah.
And as our founding fathers knew, an engaged citizenry, as Thomas Jefferson said, an engaged citizenry is crucial to the success of a free republic.
Now, let's say they want to pick up your movie or know more about this. I heard that your site was down this morning. That's what Dr. Rutledge said, because he tried to check it out, so you might want to check that out. But
my site was down this morning. Wow, how interesting is that? Well, usually if my site's not down, you can just go to bordermovie.com. But, yeah, we've been dealing with some interesting issues.
Yeah, I bet you have. I just thought I'd give you the heads up on it. Thank you for being here, and I want to have you back again. There's more on this conversation for sure.
You all be well, and God bless.
Thank you so much. Oh, CW. We need to make sure that people get their emergency medical kits. I just found this whole situation even deeper and more painful than I had anticipated before we had this show.
We need to line a whole bunch of them up across the border down there to help our border patrol.
Yep. This guy's
speaking
work
of which,
is, pardon?
EMS Global One, Emergency Management Solutions around the globe, also the provider of the emergency kits, sponsor their kit giveaway every month. Let's announce our winner this month.
Go for it.
Stephanie Curtis of Owatonna, Minnesota. Congratulations. You're the winner of a one-person emergency kit. It has 3-day supplies of food and water and comprehensive first aid. It comes with a radio and a flashlight. Congratulations to Stephanie of Owatonna, Minnesota.
You love it. And then you were going to talk about something else, as you recall.
I can talk about a lot of things.
Well, what would you like? You wanted to introduce that you wanted to mention the new sponsors that we have again, remember?
Well, let's do that.
Because I have my cup of tea now.
The Jason's Winter Tea. Now, you know what else I found out with Jason Winter's Tea? We got some extra bucks. Remember, we were given some of the books that Sir Jason offered? We have some more. So if you still want one and have not received it yet, please write in to the email address that you're about to receive. Val?
Oh, I thought you were going to do it. Please write to val@wakingupinamerica.com with that emergency kit. You say, I want that emergency kit. Now, some of you guys actually fell out of the lottery because you said, I want the emergency kit, but you gave no place to send it to. So we also need your address, including zip code, so we can send it to you. So say, I want that emergency kit, and send it to Val at wakingupinamerica.com. Also, if you want the book, say, I want
the Killing Cancer book.
There you go, and send it to Val at wakingupinamerica.com. Want to make a question or comment on the show? Send it to Val at wakingupinamerica.com. Check out our website. Everybody's listed there. You'll get to see Dr. Rutledge. I'm going to get pictures of you and Kelby, because you guys are just, you know, you have to be included in the pictorial team. We have an amazing group of people here at Waking Up in America who have committed their lives to making sure that Americans and others have good, God-fearing, God-Christian, people-respectful, the kind of lives that people lived 50 years ago before we got distracted by other things. So always just tune in here if you want a lift, because we promise you that lift. And we have restored the republics, for anybody that's really curious about that. And if you've been hearing any of that junk conversation that's been going around the internet for the last few months about this and that and the other thing and Tim Turner and blah, 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 all you need to know is that Tim Turner is alive and well. The Republic is alive and well. We are at this point, almost two-thirds of the republics have actually verified and elected their congressmen and congresswomen and senators. So how about that? That's pretty darned exciting. You haven't heard that before. And we really want to thank the good guys that make Waking Up in America possible. CW mentioned a couple of them. We have Stardust. Telephone number 828-665-0411. And the exciting thing about Stardoves is they've got a really strong mailing list of over 100,000 people that actually buy things. And if you tell Ra when you call Stardoves at 828-665-0411 that you heard about it on Waking Up in America, he'll actually give you a deal. And if you feel like going to a safe place in Mexico, which I've been many times, the cartels are not interested at all in San Pancho, because it's just so sweet and so relaxed, okay? And you go there and you can walk to the beach, you can have dinner at great prices, you can have tea, or you can have a margarita, or you can have a beer, or you can just have a glass of tomato juice sitting on the beach watching a sunset. And I swear, God arranged for a different sunset every single night. Check out drvalerie.com if you want a free consultation. You call 310-455-8623, and what does that get you? It gets you a free emotional clearing session. I personally want you to call 971-239-4120 after you've had that session, and tell Steve and Diana down there in Mexico that Val told you to come so that you could kick back and relax. Visit the rainforest on our website. Peruse our website. Take the time to go into the different things. We've got cool videos stashed all over the place for you, including a video from a soldier that talks about what it's like to be in the war and whether or not he believes in that. And this young man has incredible amounts of guts, and you can find that right there on the website. So I'd have to say, CW, that the tip of the day is send in your request. Say what you want.
Send it in and pack up your emergency kit. Include your vitamins. Let's go down to Mexico and sit on the beach and sip iced Jason Winter's tea.
All right. You know what? I'll put Jason Winter's tea on that beach. And we should probably send Steve and Diana some packages so they can give them to the residents there. This is a really charming place. This is, by the way, I missed it this month, but you know what August is, CW?
What is August?
Butterflies go to San Pancho. It's a butterfly stopover, and if you go to San Pancho in the month of August, you will be swarmed with the most gorgeous butterflies you have ever laid your eyes on, and they don't know about the drug cartels either. So with that, Dr. Rutledge, oh my gosh, I think, my personal opinion, I know you're going to be talking about diabetes today. I'm just going to lead into that with saying, hasn't diabetes gotten to be much more of a problem than it used to be?
Yes, mainly because of the corporate fast food industry. You know, I have I spoke last week about glycemic index, and it's a bit of a lead-in into this. It's a sweet topic, but not in the greatest way. There's many ways to get sugar that you like that's very healthy, so don't take away the message that sugar is all bad. There's many types of sugar. There's even glycan sugars within the cell wall that are essential to life. So
what was that last word you said? Glycan?
Glycans. Yeah, it's a complex type of sugar that makes up a cell wall.
Hmm.
That comes in a Snickers bar, right?
Well, you know, that's a great thing that you bring that up. Actually, a Snickers bar actually has a low glycemic index. You know why?
Wow.
Because it has nuts in it. If you wanted to pick the best snack between, let's say, a Milky Way and a Snickers, hands down, it'd have to be a Snickers.
Huh.
Now, a Snickers isn't even better than a, let's say, well, it may be, I don't know the exact numbers, of an Almond Joy, but the almonds make that be better. Nuts have a low glycemic index, and so when you combine sugar, it dampens the sugar effect. Now, you could have done the same thing by eating, let's say, a piece of steak or a piece of chicken or what have you with some sugar, and you had the same effect. But when you just eat bread by itself or pasta by itself or rice by itself or a dessert by itself or fruit juice that's been concentrated by itself, you're giving your pancreas a big run for its money.
And the pancreas is what processes sugar, right?
Well, the pancreas is what deals with the sugar load you get in your body. So, for instance, you eat a sugar load, the pancreas says, ooh, a lot of sugar here, so let me squirt out a lot of insulin that will drive that sugar into the cell to be utilized. Well, and that brings me to diabetes, which there are two types. One is type 1, or insulin deficient, meaning that your pancreas just doesn't make the insulin that you need. It's the most uncommon type. Many children have that, and those are known as the quote-unquote skinny diabetics. They're not overweight. The most common, and most everyone listening to this program should be concerned or aware of type 2 diabetes, and that's when the cells of the body just become rigid and resistant to bringing sugar in. And so what happens is you eat this sugar, your cells won't bring it in, so it's high in the bloodstream, and then the pancreas says, ooh, it's high in the bloodstream. It shoots out the insulin, but it has a hard time, the insulin has a hard time forcing the sugar into the cell because the cell membranes are rigid. Now, that's called glycation, which glyco means sugar, and glycation means that the cell of cell membrane becomes sugar-coated, if you will, and hardened.
Sounds horrible.
Well, it is, and what the downstream effect of that is the most peripheral parts of your body, say your toes or your fingers, you start getting numbness because it affects the nerves. Those are the first silent signs of diabetes. If you're having numbness and tingling in your fingers and toes, any doctor's going to check your blood sugar in a second. Now, there can be all kinds of MS and lateral sclerosis and everything else, but number one to look for is diabetes, and that's what we'll do. And so for all the listeners out there, it's so simple is to have your blood sugar checked while you're fasting, meaning don't eat or drink anything for 10 hours. Have your blood sugar checked. Now, normal is about under 105. Well, to me, optimal is anywhere from 70 to 85, 90, let's say. If your blood sugar is in the upper 90s, 98, 100, that is what we call pre-diabetic. Now, that's the smoke before the fire, and that's where you can intervene with yourself by making all these dietary adjustments, going back to the good old American diet of meat and veggies. Meat and veggies and a few berries for fruits if you need to. Now, if you really want to help yourself from a supplementation standpoint with diabetes, chromium, that mineral is fabulous at helping the cells bring blood sugar in. So I, with pretty severe diabetics, I'll use up to 2,000 micrograms of chromium a day with them.
And what
does
that chromium do?
It helps the blood, the cells intake sugar better, so it increases insulin sensitivity to the cells.
Does glutathione work at all? Does that help?
Glutathione does work. It helps with the liver. It's a different process.
Mm.
But, yes, glutathione is a fabulous, I mean, it's actually my smart powder that I make. And there's a lot of back and forth as to whether or not glutathione works orally. And I can tell you, yes, it does, because Stephen Edelson out of Atlanta published those studies that it does work. But back to diabetes, it is causing more, medical costs than just about any other disease because it's so rampant, and it has a lot to do with our diets. And, you know, we're working so hard all day long, and you drive into McDonald's or what have you, but, you know, you can still do a pretty healthy meal at McDonald's. Have them just, if you get a hamburger, use the lettuce as a wrap, not the bread.
That's a good idea.
You know,
also,
so
they have nice salads, I think, now, too, don't they?
They do, but watch the salad dressing. It might have 10 or 15 grams of sugar in it. You don't need it. You can use lemon or lime or vinaigrette. Now, balsamic has some sugar in it, too, so be aware of that. And I could go on and on about the things that have sugar. But if you look at it, most foods are, especially if they're pre-prepared, have been laden with sugar. And the food industry knows it because it's addictive, and they want you to eat that sugar. So I'll be happy to answer any questions you guys have, but that's a introduction to diabetes.
Well, a couple of things. One of the things I want to know is you give a free consultation, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I talked with two or three people last week. It was actually about some of their granddaughters. They're listeners of the show, some of their grandchildren, rather. And, yes, I'm more than happy to do a 10-minute or so consult with anyone on any matter. And if I don't know anything about it, I know people that do.
Okay, so check out our website at wakinguponamerica.com. You'll actually see Dr. Rutledge there. Thank you. I had a grand time at my party, you guys. And it was wonderful meeting you in person, Dr. Rutledge. Visit him at the website at wakinguponamerica.com. His telephone number is actually there. People's email addresses are there. It's a wonderful conversation that you're having here, because basically we have a lot more control over, quote, the things that we get than we know. And also, I would like to have you check out his product, which is called Nightcap, which I used as recently as last night. And I thank you for the energy that gives me and that I've gotten. And I'd love to know, in a couple of sentences, Dr. Rutledge, what you got from the conversation with Chris Burgard and the border.
Well, what I got was, folks, your government is scamming you again. That's exactly what's happening. I actually know a good bit about that topic, and especially with Agenda 21 and the biospheres and what they're doing with all of our public parks and things. It's just horrendous.
Well, maybe we can talk about that next week, you know? What I want to do right now is, Kelby Smith, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Kelby Smith, and maybe you can include a little bit in the conversation. We've got a couple minutes here before Ken's going to come in and give us some of his wisdom. Did you have anything more that you wanted to say about what you were saying with Chris? And we were talking about the park corridor that had been closed and things like that.
The bottom line for me, and this is strictly opinion, and got to be careful with what you say about this stuff, but in my opinion, it's a bigger global agenda that they are trying to put together with the North American Treaty and developing armed forces such as the NORTHCOM, where the NORTHCOM bears the patch of the full North American continent. I didn't know our Army protected the North American continent. I don't know why it doesn't bear the patch of the United States of America. So when you look at the broad picture and you look at the fact that they can capitalize by making money on the bodies that they are bringing across by actually collateralizing their birth certificates or collateralizing these instruments such as a certificate of citizenship, the reality is the U.S. corporation is broke and they need to find ways to make more money. And they figured it out with mortgage-backed securities. They figured it out with our existing birth certificates. Now they're doing it with immigration. So why would they want to stop 15 million people from coming over the border? Or why would they not want to give amnesty to the people that are already here? They, if are given a social security number, they are money, period. So that's, and as far as the drugs, I think the U.S. corporation's controlling that largely too.
Yeah.
I don't have any evidence of it. I've heard about it, but.
I've heard about it too. What got me going, guys, last night was listening to Barack Obama saying that the war in Iraq was over, but they were going to keep 50,000 troops there, and reading more in the Washington Post that they were planning on dragging Jan Brewer of Arizona in front of the UN, which kind of backed up what you guys have been saying about the UN. You'd been saying, Ken, about the UN, you know, unverified, we said, but the possibility that the UN actually owned the part of the borderline. So.
Well, it's not just the borderline. It's not just the borderline. It's we've submitted, this corporation has submitted itself to the international system of governing. And if you look, I mean, this isn't news. If you look at the corporation and you look at the fact that it was quit claimed into the International Monetary Fund in 1944 through the Bretton Woods Agreement. Bretton, B-R-E-T-T-O-N, Woods, W-O-O-D-S, Agreement. We literally, that corporation being quit claim now into the IMF, has international interests. And so they've, from that point forward, every decision that they have made, whether local, statewide, or what have you, they are taking about their approach from an international interest. And they're developing this country through the treaty, the North American Treaty of 2005, signed by George Bush. That's step one. Step two, get everybody working together. Step three, just like they did with the EU. The EU is a country, the European Union. It literally is a one money system, and that's really all they care about is the money aspect. I've heard of things like the Amero coming about. I don't know whether it will or not.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
I'll tell you this.
It was supposed to have come about a couple of years ago, actually. So perhaps it isn't. CW, I'm just wondering, CW or Kelby, do you guys, I just got an email from Andy Valiso, and he, in God We Trust, he says, and he wants to know, he says, I'm sorry I'm late, please, were there any Restored America updates? So are
Restored
there?
Restored America is just that. It is Restored America, and it's going to be recognized as the Republic of the United States of America. In fact, we invite you to visit the website, Republic of the United States.org, and visit there, and we're going to be adding new information daily here for a while.
Well, that's a happy thought. So I guess what we want you to know is if you've heard any trash on the internet, or you've been listening to any calls that say that Tim Turner has disappeared, or that any of us have disappeared, it's rather clear that we're here. When was the last time you talked to Tim, CW, or Kelby, or Ken?
I talked to him a little while ago.
Okay, and, so I just verifying he's alive and well.
He is alive.
Yeah,
and
we talked to him for a couple hours yesterday.
The trash that goes on out there, and the way we're going to handle it is simply ignore it, because when you respond to it, you're giving it identification, you're giving it a living space. And when it's not true, we're just going to ignore it. And all this stuff that's going around is simply not true.
Yeah, just keep checking with us, okay? Because we tell the truth over here. We don't always tell everything because we know that if we blabbed everything, it would actually undermine our efforts. But we're over here, and we're alive, we're all well, Tim is well, and it's happening. Ken, anything you want to add in here or anything you want to finish off this program with?
Well, some interesting topics today. You know, we're talking about the border, the porous nature of the border. As I said earlier, if there's something going on, there is some level of the global agenda that is supporting it for a purpose other than what the public is aware of. And this is not new. You know, we're talking about the drug problem here in the United States. The fact is that historically the preeminent singular entity that has been the controlling drug dealer of the planet for hundreds of years is called the Crown of England or the British Crown. You know, the British Empire in the 1700s and the 1800s was built on the clipper ship system that significantly was moving opium around the globe. You know, India was producing massive amounts of it. It was funneled into China. We've all heard, but most don't know what that means, the term the opium wars. The opium wars were because China had its social fabric being undermined by the infiltration of opium from the British Empire, and they resisted it. When they resisted, the British army came in, marched on Beijing, and basically subjugated the Chinese Empire. The Skull and Bones Society, we've all heard about the Bush family and many families being part of it, was founded by a man named George Russell, who was a principal partner of the British Empire running clipper ships. And he took his fortune created from that and founded at Yale University the Skull and Bones Society. So if you follow the trail of history, you will always see a pattern. And since I've been referred to as the master puzzler, I want people to always keep in mind there is an implicate order or an underlying pattern with history, what the purpose and the motivating agenda has always been. So there's a purpose for the drug condition that has been developed in this country for 75 to 100 years. And we don't have time to go in the whole thing, but what we're seeing today is part of the endpoint agenda. And it is always multifaceted as well. It serves many purposes. But as Kelby said, a major part of why millions of primarily Mexicans are coming into this country and have been allowed in is because the U.S. corporation is essentially bankrupt. It needs new warm bodies to bond, and that can be a bonding through birth certificates and or naturalization or some form of amnesty documentation that allows them to come in, have a bonding attached to it, which would be the Social Security number, and recapitalize off of that that population and that new hypothecated, which means pledged into the future, bonded, which means debt encumbered base for recapitalizing.
Perfect. Any comments, guys?
The Border Patrol is in trouble, and they just can't seem to get a break. But what I don't understand is why is it different on our southern border as compared to our northern border? A lot of people don't realize we may not have as many people coming across our northern border, but we do have them coming across, and it's handled much differently on the northern border than it is on the southern border.
Why do you think that is?
I don't have a clue why it's handled differently. I would like to have
the
answer to that myself.
Maybe the cartels aren't pushing. You know, maybe the cartels aren't pushing from Canada.
Well, Val, let me add one more point. That we're in an interesting year. It's 2010, which is the centennial 100 years anniversary of the 1910 Mexican Revolution. When that revolution happened, there was a president who had controlled Mexico for 35 years named Porfirio Diaz. Diaz was building Mexico. He considered it to be, he wanted Mexico City to literally be the Paris of the Western Hemisphere. And if you look at the layout of the city, it was designed to be like that, big open boulevards. And he was not only building it for ostentation purposes, but for economic. He wanted Mexico to be strong. The United States could not have that happen. So they utilized a peasant revolution type scenario to undermine that, to push him out, and to put in a federalized system. And then hence was born a mimicking of the United States system with a
I've got to interrupt here because we've got 1 minute and I promised to do something.
So there's always a historical reason why things are set up, and okay, we'll maybe pick it up next
week. Let's definitely pick it up next week. And here's what I promised. You mentioned Lee Nightingale on our show a while back. Personally, I can't stand Meg Whitman. She just makes my skin crawl. And Jerry Brown, while he's an old sweetheart, I've already had him twice, and I don't want him for governor. And I was talking to Shalene Nightingale yesterday along with CW, and we found out that for $100,000 that we could get Shalene most likely elected to governor simply because of the things that we've been saying. She's in California. She's a good Christian woman. You can go to Shalene Nightingale, and that's C-H-E-L-E-N-E, and then Nightingale, N-I-G-H-T-I-N-G-A-L-E, for governor.com, or you can email me, or you can do any of that stuff. But we'd love to have you get behind her for governor, because she's fresh, she's creative, she's resolution-oriented, and I just think she's absolutely terrific. So,
Val, let's mention real quick why we believe what the statement you just said. She goes out with the other two gubernatorial candidates when they show up at functions, and people are going out and they visit each table, and when they see what Shalene stands for, they're saying, wow, why aren't you advertising?
Absolutely.
Well, quite simply, she doesn't have the funding, and they're saying, hey,
yeah,
if we can get you funded, we know you'll be in office.
So she's actually, you want to Google her, because we have to go off the air now, though we certainly don't want to. She's actually starting a walk that's going from Fresno to Sacramento, and I think you're going to love her. So check her out, Shalene Nightingale. This program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media. Our radio partner is ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, and we thank our producer, C.W. Wright. We thank EMS Global One. We thank LA Lifestyle. We thank Sir Jason Winter's Tea. And we thank Ben Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. And we really thank the extraordinary men and women that make Waking Up in America possible to you, which is the team at Voice America. We've got T.W. Wright here. We've got Kelby Smith. We've got Dr. Rutledge. Sometimes we have Debbie. We've got Ken Cousins, the master puzzler. We've got Val Kirkgaard here. And we're here for you and for a future that I think you're going to find quite charming. I think the horror show in America has been going on long enough, and if you pay really close attention, you're going to notice that changes are occurring. And putting somebody like Shalene Nightingale in office is what we in California are doing. So make sure that your grand juries are happening in all of your states. Make sure that you're paying attention. Make sure that you're sloughing off the garbage that they give you. And we just thank you for listening. Next week, invite a friend to listen. And you can actually write us at val@wakinguponamerica.com, or you can check out our website at wakinguponamerica.com. And remember, guys, Sidious Altius Fortius, we can do this. We are doing this. It is happening. The republics are here, and they're being energized as we speak. Hear the music, feel the
dance. Hear the music, feel. Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.